Bibles this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Originally, we'd planned that Brother Craig would be here, and he'd be taking the 10 o'clock slot. However, he's not able to make it this morning. Be with us. Y'all pray for him. He's got his problems with his teeth and a lot of pain. And so when he wasn't able to come, I said, well, I'll just kind of continue the same thought that I had last time, talking about creation. But this morning, I'd like for us to look at Adam. A literal Adam, and that's very important. So let's start with Romans chapter 5, begin at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift, it is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord. Take our text from this passage and looking at this, verse 12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world. One man. That man's name was Adam. Now, Paul here is talking about and writing about the subject of justification by faith. Now, writing on the subject as it is exhibited in the condemnation of the human race because of our first ancestor, our first grandfather, Adam. If you go back in history a little bit, a message like this wouldn't be very controversial. But among academia in this world, because of liberalism that has permeated the colleges and universities and the thoughts, there's been some writings that have come up in which they begin to talk about Genesis as if it's not literal. And when they start talking about Genesis not being literal, it's not just the creation week that they talk about not being literal. They begin to talk about and say that Adam was not a literal human being. That it's just an allegory or something. A teaching that was given. These same individuals will often say that it's doubtful that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, even though Jesus himself said that he did write it. All of these things are important, though sometimes we might think within ourselves, what difference does it make? Because when we read about Adam, it doesn't have anything to do with other doctrines, but it does. And we see that being brought out here by Paul as he brings out this teaching. Of course, within the atheistic colleges and universities, they believe that we descended from monkeys and apes. And so your grandfather, if you go back far enough, was a monkey. And if you go back further than that, it was just a bunch of primordial goo. So the world certainly doesn't believe in a literal Adam. These things ought not to come into our churches. They ought not to come into our thinking. God's word is true. Adam is my ancestor, not a chimpanzee. None of my people were climbing up out of the swamp to become humans. You say, how do you know that? I know that because the word of God tells me. I know that because God's word says so. And there is a difference. There is a difference between man and animal. And if we don't believe that Adam was real, then how far do we take it? In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, sorry, hold your place there. Let's go back to chapter 1, verses 24 through 27 first. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and every thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's what God says about the creation. That man was created in the image of God. Now on that same day, there were land animals created, including the monkeys and the apes and all that sort of thing. When people look at the world around us today, they'll see similarities. They'll say, well, a monkey has fingers, or an ape has fingers, and humans have fingers, and all of those sorts of things. And then they'll begin to elaborate on that. And they'll say, well, that must mean that they're related to each other. Well, it doesn't mean that at all. In fact, my wife and I, we both have minivans made by the same company. One's an older model than the other. They look very, very similar. In fact, when you look at them from a distance, they look the same. But it doesn't mean that my van is an ancestor of Jill's van. What it means is that they came from the same company. They had the same designer. Okay? Even though they look the same and have a lot of same similarities, they're not related. One didn't evolve into the other. They came from the same designer. And so it is with this world. The reason that there's similarities between the the ape and the monkey and the chimpanzee and all those sorts of things is because God created them just like He created us. But not exactly like it, because there's something different about us human beings compared to the animal kinds. And we find the reason right here in Genesis chapter 1. We were made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. The animals weren't made that way. I love animals. But there's a difference. There's a difference. No monkey or ape or chimpanzee has ever written a book, developed a business, drove a car. Now, out there on the interstate, sometimes it seems like there's some monkeys driving cars, but they're not. They're not. They're human beings. They're human beings. And furthermore, none of the animal kind has this ability to have a relationship with Jesus Christ the way that we do. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. If you skip on down to verses 20 through 25 there, it says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Far from being a separate account, what we find in Genesis chapter 2 is elaboration, if you will, about what happened in chapter 1. And we see how that man and woman were both created. And when we look at this, we see the difference that man was made in the image of God, that God breathed into him the breath of life. The animals He spoke into existence. But God made man in His own image. And Paul, as he opens up the second part of Romans 5, and there in our text, he points us back to that time when he speaks of by one man. By one man. There was only one man. Sin entered into the world. Romans chapter 5. Verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The reason, beloved, why this sin has passed on to the whole of the human race is because we all go back to that one man. When he sinned, the whole race fell. The whole human race. Rejecting the book of Genesis, and with it the literal Adam, and a literal fall, which came in Genesis chapter 3, is a very slippery slope. That's what I'm trying to say here. Such a belief makes the gospel message untrustworthy. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Well, let's start with verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you skip on down to verse 45, it says, And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, that's Jesus, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48, as the earthy, so such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. You see, Adam was real. A real human being that lived upon this earth. The first man, created of God. And Jesus Christ is also real. And their actions, the things that they did, marked human history and changed it forever. This is a beautiful thing. Adam was real. If we discredit the Bible with one, why not both? You see. And there are people out there who do that. I think that part of the problem in this country has been those who have gone away from a literal reading of the Scriptures. And then the younger generation grew up. They heard Genesis is not real. The Bible is not real in history and science and those sorts of things. And if you want to know the facts about where humanity came from and all that, go off and talk to the experts. But the experts oftentimes didn't even believe any of the Scriptures. And so while they tore down Adam, they tore down Christ. And this younger generation grew up. I'm talking about my generation. And so when you look around at the churches, and not just the Lord's churches, but often many Protestant churches and so on, if they teach and preach anything remotely correct, who goes there? It's the older generations. The older generations. If we look at this the way that Paul did, writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Adam was a contrasting type of Christ. Both were truly men. Their bodies formed directly by God without any genetic information from human parents, the way that things normally go. You see, Adam didn't have a mom or a dad. Jesus didn't have a human father. Science cannot explain any of that. They can't explain that. Only the Bible explains that. And by faith, we believe in Christ. By faith, we believe that the world was formed the way that God said. By faith, we believe that we're descended from Adam. By faith, we know the realities of the problems with the human race. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're all depraved, and we need Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. Their similarities are there, but their differences are there also. Jesus was the first begotten from the dead, the captain of our salvation. So praise God that when Adam fell and the whole of the world sinned with him, fell with him, our God did not leave us in that state. There was a plan in place. And that plan had been put in place before the foundation of the world even. I've heard songs and I've heard preachers say that when Adam sinned, that God went through heaven looking for a Savior. No. There was only one who could save, and that was Jesus. And that was already planned. Some say, well, literal Adam and that sort of thing, it's not as serious as what you might think it is. But it's an authority issue. Either the Word of God is true or it's not. And if God's word is not true, then whose word is? Who has the answers? The experts of the world? The academia? No. In John chapter 3, verse 12, Jesus said this. This verse really made an impact to me when I was a teenager. So I was hearing about evolution, and I was hearing about creation. I was hearing man's words, and I was hearing God's words. Who do I believe? Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto thee. I'm sorry, verse 12. Verse 12 says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? God's word is a spiritual book. But it also has a lot of history. Has some science in there. You realize that every time that every generation that's come, there's been people that have doubted the things that are in the Bible. And even sometimes they'll doubt that this happened or that happened. Not just the creation, but all the way through the Old Testament. Civilizations have been doubted and all this sort of thing. But you know what's happened time and time again? And those of you that have been around for 40, 50 years, you know what I'm talking about. Because archaeologists will find things that will confirm the Bible. Confirm the civilizations. Confirm the facts of what God's Word says. There's some things we can't confirm with archaeology. We can't confirm the beginning. Can't confirm with archaeology or science how the world and universe came to be. But we can know that God's word is true. Where it speaks about earthly things. It's true. It speaks about spiritual things. It's true. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Know this. What I'm trying to say this morning is that there was a historical Adam. He did fall. The whole of the human race fell with him. You know what that means? That means you and I have a real sin nature. It's not an allegory. It's not something that's made up. It's true. We all have a sin nature. We're all totally depraved. And with that reality, with all those realities, we have a real need for Jesus, who literally came into this world, died on the cross for sinners like you and me. He was buried and literally rose up the third day, conquering death, hell, and the grave. All this really happened. Today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we commemorate that. We remember that. The message is Jesus. Jesus, the only hope for mankind. Every man, woman, and child who is a descendant of Adam needs the Lord. He did it. He died for even the worst of Adam's descendants. Praise God for that. May God help us to always trust His Word. Isaiah, would you pray for us?